Before a man named Jerome, my Ezekiel class learned on Tuesdays that rabbis struggled with the book of Ezekiel, mainly the beginning and the ending of the book was where they struggled the most, but they struggled with the temple vision that's also in the middle of the book. And there was a cautionary tale that was told by scribes of a child who allegedly picked up a copy of the book of Ezekiel in his teacher's home and apprehended the true meaning of Ezekiel. The story goes that as soon as he announced to his teacher that he had apprehended the meaning of the visions of Ezekiel, instantly, according to the tale, he was consumed by fire and no longer alive. As a result, for centuries, scribes told everyone that don't look at the book of Ezekiel until you're 30 years old. As a result, a lot of people don't study Ezekiel, and we're not going to study Ezekiel today. But I want you to remember that when you study books like that, particularly Ezekiel, where chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter demonstrates to the nation of Israel God's judgment against them. And for centuries, even one Hananiah ben Hezekiah, he burned 300 barrels of oil, history says, so that he could make sense of all of the judgments and particularly all of the parts that everyone struggled with. But what everyone forgets when they study any book of judgment is that the reason that we're told that there is judgment is because we need to see, we need hope. The work that he did and the work that others have done to help us understand Ezekiel would still leave us when we conclude the book with this aspiration of understanding. We may not understand it all, but as the scribes would say, Elijah will explain it when he comes. And that's the point. Elijah will explain it when he comes. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We need hope. Titus chapter 2 in verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works." Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope. Hope is something that's important to us. Reading through Ezekiel, reading through any book of judgment. But then we realize just as essential as water is to a fish, electricity to a light bulb, hope is to the human soul. Without that hope, there is this grim, dark existence that we live in. A hopelessness that appears in notes of suicide. A hopelessness that is written across, really, the writings of all of our newspapers and media outlets. With that depression and despair, what hope is there? And so often we use the word hope like it's something that's easily changed in and changed out. And while the Bible does talk about hope in that way, using hope in that sense that, well, I hope that something happens. The scripture makes us aware, particularly in the New Testament, just like the rabbis would say, Elijah would explain it when he comes. And just like John, the Elijah promised in the Old Testament would announce, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The truth of Scripture is that we were not made for our present. And our present was not made to give us everything that we need. Like Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. So what is the significance of our hope? Paul called it to Titus a blessed hope. It is a hope that gives us a sense of true blessing. And why is that? Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 18. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Notice when Paul says to the church at Ephesus this truth about the hope, it is a hope to which we are called. It is not a hope that we have devised. It is not a hope that we have discovered on our own. It is not a hope that we have manipulated the world events so that we can finally rest at ease. But rather, God has called us to this hope. And it is not a hope that is found anywhere outside of Jesus Christ. Someone has once said, a man can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, and 8 minutes without air. And really, you can only live 1 second without hope. Our world is living on borrowed time. The Bible says, Paul says himself, the unsaved sinner is without hope. And here we all sit with that hope in us. A hope that God has called us to share. A hope that God has called us to bubble out of our life. A hope that is the biblical shorthand for unconditional certainty. The reason that I have hope is because God has brought his Son. The reason that I have hope is because the Son is the answer. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Yes, that is a statement of the exclusivity of the gospel. But what it is the inclusivity of what God can accomplish in the human heart. I am the way, Jesus says, the hope and the truth. And no one comes to the Father but through me. In the present, there are all sorts of false hopes peddled. But Jesus is our only hope. And the point about all of this is that it's not hype. That's what politics left to do to us. Hype us up. But the hope that is the biblical hope that makes it blessed is that it is unconditional certainty because of who Jesus is. So go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Three things we want to say about that, and then we'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be regarded, to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, that's our hope. And that's what makes our blessed hope living. The thing that causes all hopes to die is disappointment in people. The thing that makes our hopes fade is because of our dissatisfaction or disappointment in what has been promised in the situation, and the situation doesn't unfold. Hopes placed in people, things, movements, governments will always disappear and disappoint. But this hope will not fade away. This hope will be undefiled. This hope is reserved. And the person who made it is not going to cancel it. That's why this hope is living. And it's the reason that it is living is because it is new to us. Going back to Ezekiel again. The promise and the need for Israel to understand while they sat in captivity in Babylon was the reaffirmation to their hearts that God was going to keep his promise that in your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And as Judah sat in captivity for them, there was this dying reality all around them. That they were going to die in captivity. And prophet after prophet God sent to those people lost in their own despair was the promise that God was going to keep his promise. And so when Jesus appears to Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus says, "No one can do what you do unless God is with him," God awakens Nicodemus to recognize he needs to stop depending on himself. Are you a teacher of Israel and don't understand these things? Don't you realize that where God will send his Spirit to do his work, God will accomplish his purpose? But you must be born of water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Even Peter will make this emphasis by describing it as a living hope, born again through this living hope, or into a living hope. It's a hope that's blessed because it lives, and it will never, ever die. Look at another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When you use a new Bible, you just need to make markers when you're preaching. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, Paul says this: "But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God has chosen you for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word." Now, it probably is an understatement to say our blessed hope is good. But that is what he says, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace. Notice he tells us that the reason that the hope has come to us and the reason that it is good, it has not become because Don deserves it. It has not come because Don has been a master at living righteously. But that it is a good hope that has come to me by grace. That God has showered upon all of us in this grace the opportunity to live again and have a hope that will never die. Our blessed hope is good. But I love how it translates in verse 16. Who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement. The good hope that has come to us by grace, Paul says, is the means by which God has given us an encouragement that will be eternal. You pick up the newspaper and you get mad, I bet. You pick up and, well, you don't, probably 99% of us don't pick up the newspaper anymore. You go to the internet and you get even madder. Can you make these words work for you? That God has given us an eternal encouragement. Not an encouragement that we're only supposed to feel when we gather together to worship. Not just an encouragement we're supposed to hear when we're listening to a good sermon along the road. But an eternal encouragement that has been given us by good hope through grace. That Jesus is going to come again. You have received eternal encouragement by this hope that is good. Suppose you have a diamond in your pocket. Now, if it's in your pocket and you know that it's there, only you know that it's there. And things in your life go wrong, lights dim on your life. Things around you seem dark. And you reach in your pocket and you pull out the diamond. A diamond no one can take from you if you keep it close. What does that diamond do to you when you're discouraged? What does that diamond do to you when life is dark? Notice, the diamond doesn't tell you life won't be dark. Notice, the diamond doesn't tell you the lights won't fade. Notice, the diamond doesn't tell you life won't sometimes be very hard. But you can still reach in the pocket and you can pull out the diamond. The eternal encouragement that God has given you through the good hope by grace to get you through it. And then one more passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul is contrasting in this gospel of Jesus what it is in comparison to Moses and the covenant of Moses, the law. And he talks about it in verse 7 as being a ministry that brings death, chiseled on letters of stone. While it came with glory, his point will be that the gospel that has come through us, he says, the apostles, is even greater glory. And notice he concludes in verse 10, in fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was set aside was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. So then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness. Since we have such a great hope, our blessed hope should give us boldness. Notice Paul doesn't say, if you have this hope. Notice Paul doesn't say, Make sure all of your ducks are in a row and you've done everything God wanted you to do, and make sure you've given your contribution the way you're supposed to and that the preacher approves of what you're doing. He doesn't say that. Therefore, having such hope, we act with boldness. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, this boldness doesn't mean that he got nose to nose with people and told them, my Jesus is better than your God. When you look at Paul's life, as he manifested this boldness and the way that he spoke, it wasn't that he poked the eyes out of the people who disagreed with him. But he spoke with boldness and confidence, and with the way that he spoke, to help people see the greatness of his hope. Because his hope wasn't in him, or in the mastery of his words. It was in the greatness of his Savior. Because he was not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So as we conclude, look in Psalm 146. The words of the psalmist convey powerfully, I think, what I want us to understand today. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Hallelujah, my soul, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles and a son of man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground on the day his plans die. But happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. The Lord frees prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects resident aliens and helps the fatherless and the widow, and frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Zion, your God reigns for every generation. Hallelujah. Our blessed hope is living, because our blessed hope lives, Jesus the Christ. Our blessed hope is good, because he is the Son of God. And our blessed hope gives us boldness, because in his life he showed us exactly what it really means to be a follower of God.